Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. It has been another wonderful week here at headquarters. Beautiful weather outside. We've been trying to probably take better care of our health than usual, especially with these reminders constantly being in the news. It's not that we have any concern about catching the virus, but just the fact that health-related news is constantly at the forefront does help us to maybe consider how we're doing personally in these areas, particularly getting outdoors, eating right, eating the right amount, drinking a lot of water, getting the right amount of sleep. These things are very important. Exercising. We've had a lot of family picnics this week, which has been perhaps the start of a positive family tradition for us. We are going to talk a bit more today about the subject of healing. We're going to talk all about health, how important that is, particularly this healing promise, though, and how it came about, how God made it, how he enforces it, make sure that he follows through. God is perfect in every way. He has existed for all eternity. He is the creator. He is an expert designer and planner, educator, lawgiver. And that point there, the last one, about being a lawgiver, is something we really need to think about. God's law is perfect. Romans 7 verse 12 says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good." That is God's law. It is beautiful. It is love. That verse, in particular, is mainly discussing the spiritual law, the law that is summed up by God's Ten Commandments. These Ten Commandments that, if applied properly, would solve every problem around the entire world. Take, for instance, the sin of lying. The Ninth Commandment says, "You shall not lie or bear false witness." I saw a clip from the popular reality TV show Survivor the other day. This is the 40th season that they're in right now, and it's being contested by all former winners of the show. So some of the greatest players in Survivor history are all competing this season. But they were talking about how the constant lying, the constant deception, really did mess them up for months after the game was over. How they went home, they couldn't trust their spouse or someone giving them directions on the street. Their relationships with family and friends and coworkers started to deteriorate because they didn't know who to trust. And that's just because of the sin of lying. There's so many other sins out there that the Ten Commandments address. It's pretty much encouraged to lie in certain situations or to deceptively tell only parts of the truth. That is usually considered by a lot of us probably as just being harmless. But then you watch a clip like that and you realize these sins really are damaging. And we have to understand that whenever God tells us something, whenever he has a law, whenever he forbids certain activities, it's all because of love. He only wants to keep from us the things that will hurt us. He doesn't forbid lying because somehow lying would make us happier. No, he's forbidding it because it hurts us, and he doesn't want to see his own creation be hurt. Now, the same is true for physical law. You have the spiritual law, the Ten Commandments, that are perfect, holy, just, good, like we just read there in Romans 7, verse 12. But you also have the physical laws. These are probably even easier for us to understand because we all have physical bodies. Even if you are not religious in any way, you still have a physical body. You still know that you have a variety of systems in your body that have to be working together, functioning properly to avoid sickness, disease, and injury. Like the late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong wrote in his booklet, The Plain Truth About Healing, we do have all these systems that really must function and operate according to definite physical laws. The digestive system, the respiratory system, circulatory, reproductive, all of these systems have to work in perfect harmony. And as Mr. Armstrong pointed out, when we break physical laws, when we break the health laws that govern our bodies, well, these laws do exact a penalty. Mr. Armstrong was also careful to note, though, that it's not necessarily the person who is sick or the person who is hurt who broke that physical law. It could have been a total accident. It could have been somebody else's fault passing along a contagious disease. But in most cases, there is something that we could do to avoid sickness, disease, or injury. Usually it is our fault when we come down with some sort of an ailment, some sort of a degradation of our physical health. So remember, God does perfectly craft laws that govern our existence. And because he is perfect as a lawgiver, he's also perfect with executing his law. He absolutely upholds his law all the time. I mean, this is true on a physical level in terms of human laws. If you crash your car into someone else's car, there's damage there. And obviously, someone has to pay to fix the other person's car at the very least, if not your own, whether it's your insurance company or you, or if someone decides to be really nice and pay that for you. Whatever the case, someone had to pay to fix that problem. There had to be a payment or a penalty for whatever the broken law was. Reckless driving, maybe, in that case. So that makes sense to us on this human level. And it's also true of God's law. The law, when broken, exacts a penalty. As Mr. Armstrong pointed out in his booklet, The Plain Truth About Healing, in chapter 3, God never suspends the penalty. That's not to say that God is cruel and heartless, that he has no mercy, that he can't forgive. But it's just a fact of the law. Because the law is perfect, certainly there's going to be an issue if it's broken. Mr. Armstrong wrote here, again in chapter 3 of the Plain Truth About Healing booklet, this chapter is titled, What the Old and New Testaments Reveal. All have sinned, and sin sets up an impassable barrier between the sinner and God. The penalty, death, must be paid. So that's talking about the penalty for spiritual sin, breaking the Ten Commandments. That penalty is eternal death, Romans 6, verse 23. In other words, meaning that you cannot live forever. You don't have a chance of living forever because of spiritual sins, except for the fact that that penalty has already been paid by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You see, you don't have to pay that eternal death penalty for your transgressions of the Ten Commandments, but somebody had to pay it. That's how the law works. And of course, it's absolutely crucial we understand how to escape from the penalty of breaking God's law. Again, in the case of spiritual sin, eternal death is the penalty. In the case of physical sin, like I mentioned, it's sickness, disease, or injury, perhaps even physical death. Maybe a broken physical law could lead to physical death. There are plenty of reckless things we could do, dangerous things we could do that would cause death. Things that God would forbid as part of his health laws. But just like there is a way to escape the penalty of eternal death, the penalty of that penalty which is for breaking spiritual law, there's also a way to escape the penalty for broken physical law. There is a principle of duality here. And just like with broken spiritual law, God through Christ also paid the penalty for broken physical laws. The way he had to do that, though, is extremely sobering. It does hurt us in a way. It's painful to think about what Christ had to go through to pay for not just our spiritual sins, but our physical sins. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, or actually, no, 2 Peter 2, verse 24. Talks about how Christ was beaten. Actually, I'm not finding the verse right now, but there is a verse. I'll probably find that while I go through this. I'm not thinking of it right now, but yes, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, by whose stripes you were healed. That's where the healing comes from. That's where we can escape from broken physical laws. Because Christ paid the penalty. Christ was hurt very badly. He was beaten and scourged to pay for physical sins before he was crucified to pay for spiritual sins. It was an absolutely brutal, savage beating that Christ went through. Isaiah 52 verses 14 and 15 in the Revised Standard Version read, as many were astonished at him, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the sons of men. So shall he startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them they shall see, and that which they have not heard they shall understand. This is talking about Christ being so marred and damaged by this beating that everyone who saw it was shocked. Their jaws dropped. They had to cover their mouths as they gasped. It would have been probably a scarring thing even to witness, much less have to go through. So that is the penalty that was paid for physical sins. Now, when we consider that payment, the extremes to which the Godhead was willing to go to pay for our physical sins, doesn't it seem a bit disrespectful to ask whether it is God's will to heal? To say, well, God will heal me if it's his will. If it's his will, why would he go through all of that suffering if it wasn't his will to heal every one of us? God has made an absolute promise to heal. Psalm 103 verse 3 says, "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." So obviously, looking at this from a Christian perspective, anyone who would call themselves a Christian anywhere in this world would obviously agree that God forgives. It says it right there, who forgives all your iniquities. But it also says, who heals all your diseases. When Christians automatically believe the first part, why don't they necessarily believe the second part? That is just as absolute of a promise as forgiveness is. Healing is just as sure as forgiveness. That's really why both of these promises are in the same verse. Stacking up forgiveness right next to healing and showing that both of them are equal in terms of their guarantee, how they absolutely will come true. And there are so many more verses, especially in the book of Psalms, that talk about God being a healer. In fact, that's one of his names in the Hebrew. He's the God healer, the God who heals, the healing God. If you have a name, a title like that, that means it's basically your profession. If you call yourself a teacher or a writer, that means you teach or you write. If you're a builder, you build. God is a healer, and that means he heals. Not only does he heal, but he has a will to heal. He absolutely wants to heal everybody. It's just a matter of timing. It's just a matter of when we human beings will meet the conditions for healing. Like I talked about last week, God wants us to cry out in prayer, asking for healing. He wants us to absolutely believe in that healing promise and that it will come true. He wants us to pledge to obey physical laws moving forward so that we don't get sick all over again. These are things that God wants us to do to be healed. And then we can call on God's ministers in the Philadelphia Church of God for anointing. That is a tangible action we can take. If we obey, if we have faith in that promise, then that anointing will do the job. God will heal us if we are taking action according to his law, obeying as best we know how, trusting him. Every time he makes a promise, absolutely trusting it. But this is a promise that is guaranteed all because of the suffering that Christ went through. This physical beating that pretty much took away almost all of his life before he actually died. Took it all out of him. Matthew 8 says, quoting Isaiah, that Christ took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Throughout Christ's ministry on this earth, he was constantly healing. He was constantly helping people. It was his will to heal. He specifically said that on numerous occasions to people who humbly approached him and said, "If it's your will, please heal me." Christ just responded, "I will." There's no qualification there. It's something that God always wants to do for us. But so often it is easy to put our trust elsewhere, isn't it? It's so easy to trust in a pill or a drug or a needle injection of some kind, or to wear a mask out in public for the rest of time, or whatever it might be. Staying inside. These are all solutions that humans are coming up with apart from God. But you notice there, not one of those things is really about actively pursuing a more healthy lifestyle. They're really about just treating the effect of sickness and disease instead of treating the cause. There's always a place for doctors. It's not that we should never use them. They're pretty important when it comes to things like giving birth or setting a broken bone. It's much like restaurants. Those have a purpose too, but it's not like we should necessarily eat there three meals every single day. But there are things where doctors can help. Even though our ultimate trust, of course, should be in God, in that healing promise. God is very clear that nothing else can heal. No one else can make that promise and come through like he can. There is a really beautiful, hopeful aspect to this. Just showing that God is always trustworthy. He is always looking out for our best interests. He knows what is best for us and is always willing to give it to us if we meet those conditions. And next week we'll talk more about those conditions, particularly about faith. Again, if Christ went through all that suffering, it seems like maybe the least we could do is just believe in that healing promise. So we will talk about that some more next week. It is a fascinating subject, this healing subject, something that the whole world desperately needs to learn more about. It is sad to see people out there panicking and suffering and putting all their hope in maybe a vaccine that won't be available until next year for the coronavirus. And it would be nice, wouldn't it, if all of those people who are so worried right now could know this truth about healing, could place their hope in a God who is sure, who will come through, who has a law that is love and wants every interaction with us to be all about love. He is always trying to love us more and more, especially if we'll just let him. So we will get more into this healing booklet next week. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.